just to challenge us as we think about God's will for our life. It's going to start, and I'll continue on. That mic, I think, is better.
Good morning again. I'm just very thankful that I was able to come to this church first time, and I feel very family, even small church, but I think it's the church which Jesus wants to us to be, to will be the church of Jesus. That in my heart, I remind back in my home back in Thailand, we work with mainly with the Korean. And a lot, and some Thai come into the church. I feel like an awareness is part of the Korean that has me to wear it in the morning. Sometimes I said, I don't want to express myself to be an only Korean then. But somehow it's good to remind us we are different from the world. The scripture I want to encourage you today is come from the Romans chapter 12, verse 1. In the headline topic of life of the living sacrifice, we have seen God's mercy and wisdom. How shall we respond? Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. With eye wide open to the mercies of God, I beg you, Paul said, my brothers, as an act of intelligent worship, to give him your bodies as a living sacrifice, consecrate to him and acceptable by him. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within, so that you may prove in practice what is God's will, his good and pleasing and acceptable will. This is the word of God from different versions of the Bible. Paul wrote this letter to the believers in Rome. He gave teaching to them in three different topics. First, he challenged. Give a challenge. Second, give an application. And last, and he give them a result. The challenge: God has shown his mercy to us, so God wants us to offer ourselves to him as a living sacrifice, so we can serve him, not like the animals which were killed in honor him, but as a human being, living human being. Now, for the applications, divide up into three headlines. First, to give ourselves to God. That's one way we worship him. Secondly, when we dedicate ourselves to God, he accepts us. Definitely. The Bible proved that. Thirdly, don't be squeezed into the worldly pattern of the world around us, but let God mold our mind and our thinking. I don't like the modern technology, new way. I cannot play computer very well because I don't have energy to sit and try to learn that. That I say is applied to my life very well in this thing. And the result Paul gives to them, we will prove and experience in practice what is God's will. And his will is good, pleasing, acceptable, and perfect for each of us by our experience, by our practice. We understand his will is perfect for our as individual. That is the word of God.
We're always wanting to know what God's will is for us and for our lives. there are many facets to the total will of God. We could read the Bible and there's so many things in here that tell us what His will is. But throughout the Bibles, in the Old and the New Testament, we see that God has a mission. His mission is to call people to be part of His kingdom. And when we go on the train or we go to the football, or even when we went to Reach Out yesterday, you get an entry ticket. There is only one entry ticket into the kingdom of God, and that's becoming followers of Jesus. So God, we know, is a God of mission. God wants us to follow that example that we have seen in Jesus, to pass on the message to others. Jesus was the great messenger, but we are to continue that work, not to just let it stop with Jesus and hope people might read this word in the Bible and not do anything about it ourselves. And so we look at the famous passages in Mark 16:15. We see that Jesus has instructed the disciples and then on to us, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. And in Matthew 28, the very famous verse, go and make disciples of all nations. And then in Acts 1:8, as he's about to leave, he says, you will be my witnesses close to home, and then not very far away, and then to places that are very far away. But Jesus actually said in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That's what he meant. Judea, Jerusalem was there close to home. Judea and Samaria weren't very far from them, and the people were not very different. But to the ends of the earth was another matter. It was going to mean a whole change for them to be taking the gospel to the ends of the earth, and we see even through Acts as that started, and as we look at the history of the church through the ages, is how that has been happening. There is a great need around us. I mean, there are people out here in Doomside who certainly need to know that Jesus cares for them. And there is a message of hope for people. So many people these days lack hope. There's all the financial pressure. We read about financial stress. People are trying to buy houses or rent houses or whatever we hear about. So much stress in life. Those are just a couple of examples of so much stress that there is around us. And people, so many people lack much hope. They live day by day and hope that today will be okay and tomorrow will be better. God can touch hearts. In a sense, He is leading us to step up to the challenge to go not only to our communities, but the places far, far away and even further away to the ends of the earth. But He's not just leading individuals, He wants to lead churches as well. And you may already, I hear somebody that's looking for support. My guess is they're in ministry somewhere, that they didn't say, but you people know. And so there are huge opportunities in many places. We mentioned before, we were at Reach Out yesterday, and one of the themes that came through was that churches should be the ones that are looking within to see who can we be sending. It's not the individual's personal responsibility just to say, I want to go, please support me, but it's our responsibility as the church to be looking, seeing, oh, we couldn't send that person, they're so vital to our church. Can't send that person, we need them in the Sunday school. Can't send that person, we need them for the youth work. I was encouraged one time in my first time back from Thailand by somebody as I was involved with the youth in the church again, and she said to me, oh, you could stay here and do so much work with the youth. And I said, yes, but there's other people in the church who can do that. There's nobody else who's going to take my place and go to what I'm doing in Thailand. And so God, through His Spirit, can speak to all of us. He does need to speak to individuals, but He needs to speak to churches as well. And if Of course, not everybody can go, but we can all be involved in that ministry. We can be involved in prayer, and we, as I said, we can challenge others. We can communicate with those who are away. It's great to have communication, to know what's going on. People say, do you get culture shock when you come back? I never like the word culture shock, because to me, I'm a nurse, and so shock really means something very dramatic. But if we do, I like the word cultural adaption, that we adapt to a culture, and sometimes that's more difficult than others. But in coming back, if people said, oh, the price of tinned fish is going up this week, or whatever, but to keep in touch with what's happening here helps people as they come back into this situation, but also helps us feel part of the family of those who continue to support us in various ways. So that's one thing that you can, that everybody can do in some way. If you can email or write a letter or whatever, but just be an encouragement. And then, of course, there's financial support that's coming through. Everybody who spoke yesterday, we need our support. And of course, you JJ put out our advertisement. We do that. We just got new figures, and we're interested to see how low our support has become. Not because our support has dropped, but because they've done a new way of working out what we're supposed to be paying for, and so the support amount's gone way up. And so for us to be able to go back in January, we do need more support. And there is this other family that you mentioned, they need support. Every little bit helps. But it makes, all these things make us part of the team together. It's not them and us, them and the church here, but it's all of us together working in ministry and in mission. But we need to respond. And as we respond to these challenges that God, through the Spirit, gives us, we are part of God's whole mission in calling people into the kingdom. And so we want to, we want to see that happen. And so as we come this morning, we want to share something that we have been doing in our work, and just to give you a bit of a feeling of what excites us. I mean, we haven't got time to tell you too many examples, what things make us sad, what things make us happy. Tony and Wendy were asked about what was their favourite and their least favourite bit, so we'll tell you that, some of our favourite stories. Actually, we'll tell you things that we've seen God working at. But can you tell us a couple of things that you've seen, when you've seen God working in the last 10 years that we've been, 4 years,
I just want to bring only two things to event which is impressive, make me feel excited. First is I have a chance to talk to the ex communist guy in the jungle. I see he's like me. He's similar to me because his father Thai, his mother Korean. I myself his father Thai and mother Korean. And he's an old man, have a, what do you call?
Curved back.
Cannot walk. He wants to see me. And we talk in Thai normally. I will talk in Korean. But I know this guy understands Thai very well, so I flip into that time. We have a great time in that night. Talk about God, talk about Jesus, talk about how you've been, give your life for your cause of the people you love, and now you get old and can't do much. And we chair, and I witnessed to my father. I said to my father, I cannot force you to become a Christian. But one thing, remember, before you die, you know yourself, you're going to die. Pray God, and if you see Jesus, just grab him tight. Because only one way I can see you in heaven, I tell him. And he listened, well, I cannot do more than that. And you yourself as well, I said, you're my good friend, best friend, kind of ideal kind of friend who loves the people, who want to help the people. I want you to become a follower of Jesus, a Christian, but I can't afford you. But If you want to decide to become a Christian, tell me later. But if you not, remember, before you die, if you see Jesus, take him. And that's one thing. I very much feel fulfilled of my seeing somebody like that. I can share the ideal, share the vision, and what Jesus did to me, and I want to express to the other. Another thing, 3 years ago, 3.5 years, I think, then come back here and have cancer, breast cancer, and try to fix with the doctor here, and finish the call, we go back, and she got a problem with the, what it called?
Clot.
The blood come up in the her intestine, and very ill and sick. At that time, she in the operation room, and I pray God just help her, and don't finish with her yet. I don't want to be alone. I've been there for so long, I don't want to be like to be alone. So I got an answer. She still come back, and that night I just very serious. God help to do something like that. That two things I remember. Yeah, so many things, but I just want to emphasize that the thing is exciting me. Thank you.
Yes. The doctor's report to the mission people here in Australia was that I was knocking at the pearly gates a couple of times during the surgery. So I'm glad to be able to be here to be with you. Just a couple of stories from our lantern night work, to tell you so many, but a couple of things that you'll see in the audiovisual again. I think of a man who was paralysed from an accident, quadriplegic, has never seen a doctor. There was no medical care for him to get where he was, and so he's been lying on the floor for 18 years. People couldn't get him up to take him anywhere else, and so we were able to get wheelchairs for a number of people, and they wanted to send some into Burma, but we're not able to go in there. But we could send somebody to find out who needed them, so we sent one of our evangelist guys, please go and see who you can find. So he found about five people, and one of them was his man, and so he came, and they had to really totally change the wheelchair. He had a thing to put his legs out the front, and he's able to see this photo of him taken going home with a vehicle that's very common in our area, a motorcycle with a sidecar, not just like a one-person sidecar, a little trailer thing on the side. He's lying in the trailer, and because it was raining, it was great because he had his wheelchair tied on the wheelchair on the cart over the top of him, so he had an umbrella as well. But Jesus had the opportunity to go and visit him again, sat in the wheelchair, and it just changed his life so much to be able to get off that floor. He's still very stiff and can't do very much, but at least he can get up and see the world. And just more recently, we've had the opportunity to get some hearing aids for, as it so happens, girls and a couple of young women, we've been able to get hearing aids for them. And one girl, who I understood was totally deaf, when we arranged for her to go to the deaf school, in the main city, is 250 kilometres away from home, so it's a boarding school, and she's there. And somebody said, oh, but she can say a few words. And I said, well, if she can say some words, probably she must be able to hear something. So we should get her hearing tested, because I know that the deaf school don't actually arrange for that to happen. And so we went and we talked to her mum, and she explained the situation. She'd had cancer of the kidney, not an uncommon cancer for children, and if you get it early, it actually has a very good cure rate. But this little girl had also had 3 doses of chemotherapy. She was supposed to have more, but her father was killed in a shooting incident, and so the mother didn't have any money to go back, so she never took her back. She had the surgery, and so it seems like the surgery probably did what was needed to do, but the chemotherapy damaged her hearing. This is the particular chemotherapy that they often use does that. and they're supposed to check very carefully. But obviously nobody had realised that was the cause. And so we were able to get her hearing aids. She's been back at the school and they've encouraged her talking. And just a month before we came back, we were able to organise another. Another girl got the hearing aid, but we took another three to get theirs. And so we had to go back to the deaf school with two who were students there, and they now had their new hearing aids. And the other girl, who we'd already got, came up and spoke to me in an almost normal voice. And I turned around and saw it was her, and I thought what a wonderful opportunity it was, just because somebody had picked up something about her. Had she gone through life hardly able to hear, she couldn't talk and communicate. And so those are just some of the joys that we have in being able to work with people with disabilities. Originally I was working as a nurse in the Quine River Christian Hospital when I went, so my nursing background helps me in this work with the people with disabilities. We've had other people that work there going on a long time, but we've got more involved, both of us, in recent times. So just to give you an overview of some other things that we are involved in as well, and then for you to see again those people with whom we work and for whom you have raised support in the Lantern Light Project. We'd like to show you that. I mentioned the car just before we see that. There's also a picture at the back there on the table, like this. If you would like to receive our newsletters, then you can put your name on this list. And we'll add you to our mailing list if you would like to claim.